Love Talk Radio.
We're going to stop that, Bill.
Right now.
Right now. Here's what we're going to do.
Well, we say hello to everybody first. How about we doing that?
We have to do this first.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay, now.
Yeah. I want to say hello to everybody. We have different people coming in with that. Sometimes we get so excited we jump in there. We want to thank everybody checking in. Remember, we can look at the hits we got from people calling, suggesting. Yeah, we got so much stuff to get into tonight. Where do we start?
Well, we're going to start with this. This goes out to
some of our friends.
There you go. This is by Johnny Cash.
And that's one of Johnny's poems. It's called God's Gonna Cut You Down. There's no guarantee, folks. You're not getting out of this. Well, it's your day, it's your day.
And they're downtrodden.
By request, though.
This is a yes. This is called Forever Angel by one of the European artists. This is just for the people who've had so many troubles the past month here in the West Coast.
And as soon as we get done with this, Bill, I'm gonna screen a couple of callers and stuff, and as soon as we get the songs done, we'll come back.
Good. Okay then.
Lord.
everybody can appreciate that. And for those people that are in the know, you know, that in the West Coast, we've had people, friends of ours, with a lot of pain in the past 2 months. A lot of people have passed away. A lot of crazy things have happened to all of our friends. Again, we give respect and love and hope they get through this. And as we both know, they're a very strong organization that will get through it. We also encourage that if there's other clubs that have a death, let us know. We will share it with everybody. We have been around a long time, so we have friends in many, many clubs, but we are concentrating right now on the fact that our friends here have had just an extraordinary amount of just sadness in their organization with that. So we hope they're going to get over this soon. If they stay together, if they stay strong, as we know they will, there'll be a tomorrow coming. The sun is coming up somewhere, right?
And I got sent an email, Bill, to play this one and to dedicate it to the boys.
All right.
This is Golden Earring, Golden Earring Run. We get all this out of the way first.
Yeah.
Got the ring.
group did that. The Golden Ear said thank you very much for that. And to our guests that wanted to hear that, I hope you enjoy that.
And we have a couple of guests in there now, Bill. And if anybody wants to call in.
Talk to us, man. What do you want to talk about? We don't have to talk about the sorrow that just happened and all that. Talk about politics. Who's the next president? Talk about anything you want. And the Canadian women, give me a call. Tonight's Canadian Women Night. How's that sound, huh?
Yeah, it's your
Canadian
story.
Canadian women.
It's your story. You tell it any way you want.
All Canadian women, call tonight.
We lost one caller, Bill.
One from Canada, was she?
No.
Yeah,
it's no. From Portland.
Well, that's close to Canada, though.
Yeah. But,
I'd be embarrassed if nobody from Canada called.
No, but we got a request to announce the Graveyard Gamblers MC Blackjack Party, which is Saturday, November 12th, featuring the Little George Band. It's going to be at Flint Springs off Old Highway 80.
That's down San Diego way.
Yeah.
Now San Diego start heading inland a little bit, about 30 miles, I think it is, give or take.
That's correct. And then you and I will be attending Saturday at Quay Temecula Harley Davidson. In Old Town Temecula, we're going to see the music festival and the bike show, Bill. We're going to have a poker run, high hand, low hand, and the chapter challenge payouts, the bike show, vendors, food, beer, wine, tattoo contest, fashion show, opportunity drawings, and the chapter challenge. The ride's going to be Gilby Clark from Guns N' Roses is going to take them out on a 90-mile ride, Bill. Then we're going to have scheduled to perform. We're going to have Eric Turner from Warrant, Bobby Ball.
I like Eric Turner.
Bobby Blotzer from Rat, Adler's Appetite, Cleedence, Clearwater Revisited, and Old
Revival
School.
Group. Revival. Yeah.
A couple more bands. But this is benefits all from the heart, Bill. And what they do is they get motorized wheelchairs and give it to the vets. Because, you know, our fucking VA system is so fucked up that nobody can get a wheelchair when they need it.
And what's that black sheep down there? Do I see it down there?
Yeah, they're putting that on.
This is the black sheep. They're putting it on. Let me back up just a minute, if you don't mind. Talk about the Graveyard Gamblers. You know they're an all-women's club, of course. You know that.
I just found that out, Bill.
Oh, okay. That's why they invited us. It's an all-women's club, and they invite us to go down there for the run. I think that sounds good. I wonder if there's any other all-women's club out there listening to us tonight. If anyone wants to call in that belongs to a women's club, we'd like to have you hook up with these Graveyard Gamblers. I was over in Vegas, and then the very next week you were in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was in Vegas, all these girls came in. They're some party girls.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody that belongs to a motorcycle club that's a woman's club or knows a woman's club, call us, talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe hook up with these people in here. And just briefly, we have I got some runs coming up. No big deal. Let's talk about them later. What do we got that we want to talk about? Any special?
We lost the other caller, Bill, so we're waiting for him to call back.
All right.
I sent him a message.
I should talk. Oh, go ahead. You go ahead. I'm going to jump on you.
No, go ahead.
I was going to talk that next month we're going to have the, it's December, we're going to have the big cover-up at our shop again, Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside, California. Buy a few blankets and socks for the homeless people. Years ago, the homeless people looked like me. Now, today, we have women on the street with children. And it's just not right. We've got people sleeping out there now. We're going to collect blankets and socks, and we're going to try to help these people. But let me explain this to you. I don't have people going out there trying to save your immortal soul. I don't have people out there trying to convince you to go to church. What we will do after collecting this stuff is be contacting people on the street, giving them dry socks, dry blanket, and directions on where they can go if they want help. If they don't want help, that's fine. But we still don't have many of the shelters open up here in Southern California, in San Diego, where we're from. So
they just opened one in Vista, Bill.
Just starting to click it. I think it was last night, it was the first night.
Yeah.
And next month, also, I got the Vietnam vets going to be coming on. They're going to talk about their run coming up. So that's going to be good there. I have another run coming out of my shop again. I can't think which one it is now. A plethora of motorcycle runs. Too many, actually. I keep saying about back in the day, every 3 months we had one run. I thought that was a lot. Now you and I we don't even get to go on the same runs because we're going to be in two different places all the time. So that's kind of...
Yeah.
Okay, it's a sign of the times, though. And, of course, in the old days, every run I went to, I knew the same faces over and over and over. But we have so many new people coming in there. So many new people. Do you remember that party we did a couple weeks ago with the Hooters girls?
Mm-hmm.
They kept asking me to stop by the Oceanside Hooters program. We're going to stop by for a hot wing or something, maybe, if you could fit that in the schedule.
Yeah, they have. They want us to pop in on bike night, though,
yeah.
Which is the first or second Wednesday of the month.
But if you can't make it, I understand. I'll stop by and represent both of us. There were a couple of nice girls that helped us out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where that caller went. Nobody's pushing.
Everybody just wants to listen. All right, that's all right.
Well, here we go, Bill. I got a request for this one, too, so we'll play this one and we'll see if we can get that caller back.
Rolling 81.
Okay, Bill. This should be Kat.
Hello.
Well, how are we doing tonight? This is my name is Bill, of course, and Phil's right next to me.
Yes, I remember.
Okay. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, you guys.
We just we started a poking party, so we wanted to see what was going on, who was getting poked.
Everybody.
Well, that's good, but not here. There's two guys sitting here and getting no pokes.
Yeah.
Keep your hands here.
You, that's where we have that barricade between us. I told you before. I didn't tell you, maybe you didn't know that, like the last 15 minutes of the show, Screwdriver gets naked.
You
for everybody listening out here tonight, last 15 minutes of the show, please go check on that, because he's always naked here. That's where we have the barricade between us here. He's a little strange one. We've had a, we have so many, oh, by the way, change subject for a second. You saw Sons of Anarchy this week, right?
Yeah.
Did you know that tree limb was going to break and he was going to live, or do you think he's going to hang himself with that chain?
No. He actually stepped on his dick and made a post about it, and people already knew he was going to be alive.
Oh, okay. Because I heard a crack, and I figured, well, I thought the weight of everything would have cracked it, so that happened like that. Of course, my opinion, that guy's beyond a snake. And now what do we got? We got Clay killing it. You got to stop this killing, guys. It's making his bikers look bad. So tell me what's new with you today, girl. What's going on? Tell me something.
Not much. Pretty quiet.
No, don't say that, because Screwdriver and I got two more days to go. We got parties going on, but Thursday just is our slow day. And we're just bored to tears. But if people call and talk to us, we can get through the day.
Well, that's why I called in.
So, Bill, you might want to ask her about socks.
About
well,
what?
Well, I'm a little...
Let Bill tell you. Bill's got a story to tell you.
Okay. I'm listening.
Where are you from exactly? What part?
Montreal.
Montreal.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of relationships with women. I've been a little shy. But I met this Canadian girl once in my life.
Okay.
And we spent the night together, but she kept her socks on. I thought that was kind of strange, but, you know, hey, I had other things in my mind. I know, it's kind of strange. Later in life, I met a second Canadian girl. And luck would have it, we both ended up in bed together and all that. She wouldn't take her socks off either. And this one I just had to ask people. I just said, what? She said, Bill, the floors in Canada are so cold, we just never take our socks off. Now, I don't know if that's just coincidence. I found two girls that want to take their socks off. Or maybe they're keeping their socks on until they get married. I'm not sure. But did you ever hear anything about Canadian girls keeping their socks on? And if you slept with me, would you keep your socks on?
Hell no. I don't wear socks.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Are the floors that cold?
You actually found a girl that doesn't wear socks in Canada, though.
There we go. Are the floors that cold?
I don't wear socks.
Okay.
No, they're not. They're not that bad.
No, because I know in Europe they have the heated floors because the floors are out of control there. But we had quite a few girls calling in and texting us. They all said, no, we don't take our socks off. And I feel I don't know.
I think I feel a little awkward keeping my socks on during sex.
I thought that... Well, at that time, I had my
I've seen guys do it before, but...
You kind of slip and slide, you know?
Well, I have my mind on other
things. I don't want my socks on during sex, thanks, anyway.
That's kind of interesting, you know? But again, I'm not judgmental, because, you know? I thought about this stuff, really kind of the... most of it was already over at that point, but I was just thinking... Because during the time, my mind was elsewhere, so I didn't care. But I thought maybe there's other women in Canada...
Oh, there might be.
No.
But
no,
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not the women I know, anyway.
Now, you're in a part of Canada that gets very, very cold, though, right?
Yeah, it gets really cold here.
But you don't worry about that. Okay.
No.
Maybe I found the only two women in Canada and the girls that do Texas.
Maybe it depends on where they come from.
You know.
What part of Canada do they come from?
Yeah, I don't know what parts now. I can't think that far back. I'm sorry, then.
What?
With my friends from Canada that I slept with, what part of Canada they came from, I don't know.
I don't know.
No,
I,
that's okay.
I just got an instant message that says Lacey needs an eighth of a Primo weed.
Lacey, I'm trying to pour my heart up talking about Canadian girls that wear socks.
But when you tell people, don't send me that on this, and they do.
I know. Lacey, you got to get your own weed somewhere. This is basically a motorcycle show, among other things with that. Oh, is that my nephew?
Yeah, he's bored again.
Hey, my nephew's on the line.
No, he's not on the line.
Oh, he's on the line.
He sent me a message.
Send me a message. Yeah.
So what's going on up there?
She said nothing. She's
pretty quiet here.
Any motorcycle runs coming up?
I don't know. Haven't looked into it, really.
Oh. You don't have your own motorcycle?
No.
In this day and age of women's liberation and empowerment, you need to get off behind in a motorcycle. You need your own motorcycle.
Most definitely.
You ever thought about getting your own motorcycle?
Yes, I have.
What's holding you back?
Right now, my health.
You have to prioritize. I understand. Well, remember, you can start on a smaller bike. You don't always have to start on a Harley-Davidson. But I assure you, it's the most empowering thing you ever got. A new chapter of your life is going to start up. When I see a guy ride down the road, I see other guys looking, it's no big deal. But when a woman rides her motorcycle down the street, everybody looks. Women look at her, guys look at her. Guys look because they don't have
a motorcycle. You don't think women look? All women look at guys riding down, like, please.
No, they look, but the fact is that a woman has her own motorcycle.
Yeah.
No, it's just, it's saying, hey, big boys, step back, let me in the club, I'm here now. I think that's a class act. We try to encourage all of our women to ride their own motorcycles. Riding behind is, it's your choice, it's your prerogative. But we tell people over and over, if you can get up, get your own motorcycle. Start off on a Honda, Yamaha, Kawasaki, it doesn't matter. Work your way up to, well, no, you don't have to work your way up to Harley.
Doesn't matter what you want to ride.
As long as you're on a bike, what does it matter?
Yeah, that's right. There you go. As long as you ride.
Exactly.
I was telling you, we have several events coming up here, and I guarantee you in our events here, we have a plethora of motorcycles like you. Every motorcycle Kim made is going to be at our events. We are Harley-Davidson shop only. Kennedy's Custom Cycles is a Harley-Davidson repair shop only in Oceanside, California. But our parties are open to everybody. And I say that because I don't think that just because you have a Harley, you're a good person. There are many assholes on a Harley as on a Honda. But our parties, we try to bring people in from all over. But the one party we're talking about, the Graveyard Gamblers, a woman's motorcycle club. I think it's cool the whole club of motorcycle riders come in here, and they're doing away with that bullshit about, oh, we're dykes. No, we're not dykes at all. We're women who ride motorcycles. I don't see why more and more women clubs aren't pushing out there. Sure that we guys aren't afraid of them.
No, I highly doubt it.
Yeah.
No, let's
see.
So
you feeling the love there, Phil? I'm poking you enough now?
Yeah, I'm kind of squirming in my chair now.
There you go.
Wow.
This is strange.
Oh, yeah, we just got a strange message here. She's kind of strange.
Well, we don't judge our friends, though.
No, we don't.
We don't judge.
You should send Molly an invitation.
Who?
Molly.
Well, I think she's supposed to... Oh, just a second.
So what was going on the other day? You said you were kind of down. What happened?
Hey. Hold on.
Sure.
Okay. What was that?
I said you said you sent it kind of down the other day. What was up?
Nothing.
No? Okay. Everything all right?
Oh, yeah. Everything's
okay.
Good.
Okay.
Maybe she doesn't want you to know what her business is. Do you think that you're pushy, you're irritable, you're arrogant? Think that maybe? If she wanted to share something, maybe she would have said something. But no. Now you've aggravated her.
Oh, no, I didn't. Did I aggravate you?
Yes, she did.
No, it takes more than that to aggravate me.
You can tell she's very sensitive. You, my friend, are
insane.
Well, yeah, I have a sticker on one of my helmets.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, warning, insensitive prick.
That kind of describes that pretty well.
Shit. That's a good one.
Now we're getting spanked, Bill.
When we get
yep.
stopped by the police,
can you feel it?
Two different screwdriver gets stopped, and it's almost right away confrontational. You can feel the tension.
You know, I wasn't going to go there, but
yeah, they're just screwing up that kind of stuff in people, you know.
He does bring that out, yes. I have the gray hair. I have the soft-spoken and whole different attitude. But I did wear that new full-face helmet, and the damn cops pulled me over. I took the helmet off, and they said, oh, Mr. Kennedy. And I said, yeah, why did you stop me? They had, of course, created probable cause. They said, well, sir, you were speeding. And I said, well, I'm in the slow lane. How fast could I be going? Well, okay. I tagged you at 38. I said, all right, what is the speed limit? He said, 35. I said, what did you stop me for? End up being because I had a full face helmet, the cop didn't recognize me. But see, that's how I deal with police stops. Now, screwdriver, by that point in time, he'd be calling them names and blah, 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 and writing notes and getting the watch commander. We have different styles. In fact, I'm going to tell you something now. It's a secret, actually. When the cops pull me over,
mm-hmm.
I tell them, Oh, screwdriver's just two blocks down the road, and they all take off, run after him.
No, I had a run in with that clown the other day, Bill. And this guy was he was rude and arrogant. We weren't there for me; we were there for the guy. What happened was a friend of mine got hit on a bike the other day by a car. Guy made a
okay.
right turner, and we got there to see him, and he was cool, and he was under control. The situation was under control. We were getting him to get out of there to the hospital, and this guy was just a prick. He asked me for my license, registration, and proof of insurance.
So how many times have you been in an accident? You're not in the accident, and they pull you aside. They want to see your driver's license and all that. I don't think some people don't like you. I think you just misunderstood.
Well, no. According to Joe, that guy's supposed to be a good guy, but he's a prick, and he gets upset around bikers.
Yes, he's insecure.
And he shouldn't be a fucking policeman.
Well, you got to remember, too, you've got one chance to make a first impression, and they don't know if you're an axe murderer.
Just because it says that on the back of my helmet, Bill, doesn't mean that I am one.
He doesn't know. He's a new cop.
I took off my 1 pound ball peen hammer and I sport a 3 pounder now, and they were all over the hammer, as well as a few stickers on my bike.
Is that penis
bike.
Envy?
No.
You gotta go to a bigger hammer, cause what?
No.
Okay. All right.
Hey, you fucker.
Now, what do you think of a guy who runs around with a ball pin hammer on top on the saddlebags, you know? And you got a bigger one now, you know. But again, let's be honest. You do have a look about you that is threatening to the officers.
And?
Really?
You give.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have one chance to make it.
No, they just walk around with their guns, think they're big boys, and try to intimidate people.
Every one of them was the kid that got picked on in school.
Yeah. I have a theory. It's kind of like the military, where you have privates, and then you have corporals and sergeants and on up the line. If you act like the captain, you'll be treated like the captain. You act like the private, you'll be treated like the private. Now, so when I get pulled over, I believe I have the first 30 to 45 seconds.
I act like a general, Bill.
30 to 45 seconds so that I am in control of this situation. If you act like that, and because especially the police officers, they're used to dealing with rank. That's the difference with them. I'm not saying your way is not a good way to go, but I'm just saying it's different than my way. We get stopped the same, but just don't think they like you. I think I get used to misunderstood, you know?
Hey, fuck them if they can't take a joke.
Well, I wouldn't fuck them, but yeah. Ah, shit. No, I don't like fuck either, so, no.
That's like the night.
They get
like
around
the night
me and I just get really frustrated.
Yeah,
that's like the night we were trying to explain to Angelus what a nightstick was. And remember that?
Oh, my God, yeah. Shit.
She was in Londonville. She didn't know what a nightstick was.
You know, a while back...
They got to have something out there that kind of basically looks like that.
No. Batteries? Does it come with batteries?
I can ask.
Only vibrators come with batteries. No. Shit.
I've seen some that plug in.
No. Well, I'll leave you two to your own department.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, a while back I was right in front of the bar. There was a big crowd outside. They were getting unruly. And I saw a cop pulled over this woman. And I believe the cop was trying to help the woman. It was late at night. She was not drunk. She was a little bit just disorganized. Crowd was getting out of control. So I put my bike between the crowd, people I knew, and I told the officer, what are you doing? I'm trying to get this person safe. But the crowd was getting really out of control. So I stood there, and, of course, the woman, because of the motorcycle crowd, she got all these cops in there. It was like the damn cavalry came in. Now I got my motorcycle surrounded by cops. They're all just, you know, like I'm threatening one of their woman officers and all that bullshit. That girl ran right up to me and said, no, everybody back off. This man offered to help, and how many times did he get a chance to help? I thought the crowd was misinterpreting the cop who's trying to help the woman. She wasn't harassing the woman like that. So it's good and bad, you know, a decision you got to make. I just felt that the crowd was too many people for that one cop there, you know.
Well, damn.
I'm just
pointing out.
That guy,
you know, Bill, after I talked to that guy,
yeah.
7 more guys showed up.
Yeah, they surround
me.
They surround me. Yeah.
12 guys just for me. Plus a fire truck and an ambulance.
Damn, you are scary.
Every town you have, you see them. We have offenders, but that seems to be our criteria.
Yeah, I got a shirt that says that. I've been sporting that around here and there.
You know, I should point out to everybody, when you get pulled over, car, truck, motorcycle, doesn't matter, usually...
Yeah, but that's because they know that he stands up for his rights.
He does stand up for his rights.
So that's what they're not liking.
Mm-hmm. What they do usually is they are running your license plate ahead of times.
What pisses him off the most, though?
I've
never been arrested.
It's because, again, we know right from wrong. And then you and I are not uncomfortable going down to the police station, sitting down and having a meeting with the head of internal affairs, head of the officers on the line. We think it's important for our police departments to know that we're not adversarial against police. We are against those officers that abuse their authority. And that has, that has to be nipped in the bud. I go to bars 3 times a week. People complain about it. Screwdriver and I go to the police stations. We ride our bikes to the front door, go in, we sit down, we have meetings. If need be, we can go to the mayor of our town, go right in, sit down and talk. You can't ignore things. And I don't know why people want to sit in the bar and just badmouth this. Badmouth and maybe therapeutic, make you feel better, but it doesn't.
Well, it's not doing anything just to talk about it. If you want something done, you got to get up and do it.
That's
but
it.
It's hard to get people.
That's where I piss a lot of people off, because I tell them straight out, don't bullshit, do it. Here's how to do it. If you want to do it, meet me here and I'll give you the paperwork. I'll show you how to fill it out. I'll even walk in there and hand it in for you.
Oh, yeah,
nothing.
For sure.
Nothing.
If you're just going to badmouth and sit around and not do anything, then it's not being productive, is it?
It happens to us all the time. They say, well, why don't you guys go and do something? It's not about Screwdriver and I. We are part of the program. But all across this country, all across the world, if something was wrong, if people would just stand up to it, again, in my opinion, I see the police department the same way I see a gas electric person, the same way I see a firefighter. Why should I give them extra powers? When I'm pulled over, I have my driver's license, insurance, and registration. If I'm going to get a ticket, I remind myself that the police officer is not the person I'm discussing with. It's the judge.
Yeah, because the more you talk to the police officer, the more he just pisses you off, and the more you just get a bigger ticket.
You just sit there and say yes. No, I never say yes, sir, no, sir.
Well, I don't really say. Well, see, the other day I was jaywalking, and the cop, he was in the middle of the road. He said, "You're jaywalking." "Yeah, I am." And I kept walking. "I'll give you a ticket." I said, "Yeah, you can watch my ass walk away, too." But I can't stand cops. They just get under my skin.
But we have to live with them. So what we have to do is we have to say to them, "Hey, you're accountable for your actions." Now, I have 40 years riding all over the world. And when I was younger, I was really, I got so many tickets and so much bullshit, I didn't understand it. After college, after learning that it is my responsibility, Screwdriver and I do preach, encourage people to stand up. He's a little bit more vocal. I'm a little bit more laid back when I talk to people. The point is, whatever your style is, you have to stand up.
Oh, for sure.
If you got a stop sign in the wrong place, get together, move it. If you got one officer in your town
who's a prick,
then you need to recognize that. You sit
there
and talk.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Got to go and do something about it. If everybody's just letting them do it, then it's, you know, it's not changing anything.
And that's our big problem, though. For us to try to go around and talk to different people, when people just say, I can't do nothing about it. Yes, you can.
Sure you can. We had a park here in the back. It was all full of druggies. I went and took pictures, and I went to my town hall, and I said, "That's it. Take it out."
Did you have support from friends, or did you go by yourself to town hall?
And I went by myself with my pictures, and I told them if they don't come clean it out and take everything out of there, then I'm going to the media with it. 3 days later, they came and took the park out.
Yeah. You know, I was in Arkansas, a while back, and I was talking to the people, and they said, "What do you think of our little town?" I said, "Well, you know, it's like Mayberry to me," but he said, "Well, what's wrong with the town?" I said, I don't know. "Do you see anything wrong at all?" I said, "Well, I don't see any graffiti." He goes, no graffiti. "Any gangs?" No, we have street guys running around, but there's no problem here. I said, "Well, I came into town late," and speaking of the park issue, "I saw senior citizens in the park, 9, 10 o'clock at night." He said, "Yes, we want our senior citizens and everybody to be in our city parks enjoying our parks." And I thought, Rogers, Arkansas, what a wonderful place to be. And then he said to me, "Bill, this is not heaven." I said, "Well, what is your big issue here?" "Look up in the hills, Bill. What do you see?" I said, "Well, I don't know, smoke, hunting camps." He said, "Nope, inbreeding, Bill. They're living up in small little congregations all over Arkansas, inbreeding. It's a terrible thing." And I thought, holy shit. See, I'm from California, and that just blew me out the door. But the point is, I guess, in every bit of heaven, there's a little bit of crazy stuff.
Yeah, Angela said her air freshener fell off the wall. To give her 10 minutes, Phil, and she'll call in.
Who said that?
Angelus told me to tell you that her air freshener refill fell off the bathroom wall, and give her 10 minutes and she'll call in.
Okay, bathroom wall. Oh, okay. She must be getting kinky in the bathroom wall now.
Yes, so.
You know, I'm not a real proponent of... Babe,
you know, wait. Bill doesn't believe me. She wrote the other day, tell him what she wrote about, "I'm the only guy that can get her out of bed at 2 a.m. He didn't believe me.
Yep, she did.
She
did write that.
Well, I thought the idea was to get him in bed. See, this is, once again, I
well, Bill, you know, it's kind of a long distance, Bill.
My purpose has always been to get the women in bed, but... If you're having women getting out of bed, I'm thinking you're doing something wrong, brother. I'm not sure.
No, it's getting them out of bed to come here, Bill.
You don't have to explain nothing to me at all.
he gets women out of bed to come listen to your show. It's still a good thing.
Okay.
Got to count
you
for
have
something,
any,
right?
I was going to say back to politics here real quick again. I'm not a real proponent of one party over another. I think that whoever gets elected has got an impossible job, so we're all going to turn and hate him or her anyway. But I tell people that if you'd like to get involved on a grassroots level of speaking to the politicians and asking them, and we're screwed up and are very big in this one, what are your plans for us? Unfortunately, every politician, senators and congressmen, and Screwdriver and I both know, have had to make so many concessions to get their bills passed. They put pieces of crap onto their bills. And unfortunately, every politician you and I are comfortable with, we've become so disillusioned with them.
Yeah.
But they say they must, the policy.
Well, you know, it's like we had a big party in the street, and the mayor showed up. And he showed up with his little purse dog, and he stood up on the stage, and I was getting ready to just go hammer him, and Bill stopped me. And just as Bill stopped me, this guy, his exact words were, "I don't know why we're having problems with the bikers in town. I'd like to take all you people to my house." And I was getting ready to say something again, and Bill just said, "Don't do it."
See, I need to work within the system. The fact that we can do a bike run with 500 motorcycles in there, independents, sorted club people, clean and sober clubs, Christian bike, where all the people show up there. I need to keep bringing these politicians to our events. We need to take the fear away from them. And when I have them here, I don't need anybody putting them up against the wall. A couple events ago, we had the mayor there again. And there was a bike club there, and they were just jumping him about, do this, do that. And, hey, you know what? You call him in his office, and you talk to him. But when we get them down, and I get the press there, the newspaper, magazines, I'm saying I need to keep building this. There's a time and a place. At a motorcycle event, when I'm trying to build a rapport, that's when we need to lighten up. Go to his office.
There is a time and a place for everything.
And you're the only one who agrees with me. Thank you. Everybody says, "Oh, Bill, you're giving in."
No, I agree with you, Bill.
I'm
but
trying
I,
to
I,
build
I,
it.
No, I agree.
There
with
is a time and a place for everything.
No,
sometimes your emotions get a hold of you.
That's why he stopped me.
Yes. And you can just listen to us a few seconds. You already know that we have this problem. The yin and the yang goes back and forth. We work well together, though.
Yeah, but that happens to everybody. Your emotions get a hold of you, and you just kind of.
No, I have no emotions. I have no emotions. That's my reason for speaking. That Screwdriver has all the emotions in the world. And, in fact, a very quick story. Do you remember down in Mexico, Ensenada?
Mm-hmm. Which time?
The time with the police department and all that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well.
We got nice 8x10s of people in cars.
Yeah, well, see, Screwdriver's reaction was to go over and punch out these Mexican police. My reaction was to move him from the situation for a second, and I went and got the owner of this hotel. I went down immediately to the police station, spoke with the chief of police, and we got the situation defused. Now, Screwdriver's approach at punching the cop in a foreign country, you know what, that's not wrong. But my approach of going to the chief of police and telling them blah, 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 that's not wrong either. We just work out well together. However, if something's happening, keep an eye on Screwdriver. Keep an eye. If you invite him to your town, keep an eye on him.
Well, you know, Bill, it's only because...
I got you out of Mexico, right?
Well, yeah, you got
me
out of
prison.
Mexico, but the thing he didn't tell you was...
There's a lot we didn't tell you.
This is Mardi Gras, okay? This girl walked up to Bill and said, "Close your eyes." So
I'm hoping for something positive.
Well, now, it wasn't 10 minutes after that all this other stuff started, but you got to remember one thing. When Bill closed his eyes, this girl sprayed him with purple dye.
I have white hair and a white beard, and I'm all purple now.
Now he's got a purple face, purple hair. And he's trying to talk to the chief of police. God, he was fucking crazy.
He sprayed me, and then this incident happened so quick, I jumped up, and I didn't really, I had no idea, my hair was purple, now my beard's all purple and all that. So I ran into the chief of police in Ensenada, Mexico, and I'm giving him my best, calm, cool, blah, 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 blah. And I'm looking at his eyes, and he's thinking, this guy's a freak. We have a special jail for freaks. But he was able enough to understand that it was Mardi Gras. Things got out of hand a little bit. Let's keep everything under control. That, when the cop kept staring at me, the chief of police, that's, well, shit, my face is, my hair is purple. So I do want to encourage you, if you wish to go to Mexico with Screwdriver, better take me along too, because he sometimes doesn't have quite the patience.
No, Bill.
You're never wrong. You're never wrong. I've never once said you're wrong. Just saying we have different purposes. And I'm bilingual. No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
No, I am.
No. You are?
Mm-hmm.
I have tried.
I speak Cree, English, French.
Oh. I've been in, you know, French is probably one of the, when I go to France, spend a week or two, I actually can understand a lot of French. We have a caller that wants to jump in right now. Caller 978. Caller, why don't you jump in and join us, please? Caller, tell us who you are.
Looking for the department, the training bra department.
No. Oh, don't you forget anything.
And I heard that a man named Bill runs it.
Oh, God. Just, like, forget things. I mean, you know, at our age, we forget things. You just keep things right there.
I can't forget that. That was just too funny.
Twisted every chance you get. All right.
Oh, Lord.
That, the thing with Tomas. I mean, those are two things I just can't forget. You know?
Do you want to tell us who you are and what part of America you're from, sir?
I'm Pete. I'm from Boston, and it's snowing here.
You can send some my way.
Is it snowing in Canada yet?
God, no.
No? No, we got to turn around without.
You can send it all here.
It's freezing out too. I don't understand how it's snowing because it's really cold.
You know, Pete, I went to Boston a couple of years back for Christmas, and it was no snow. What the hell ever happened? No snow.
Yeah, no, it never snows on Christmas. Yeah, it's after Christmas, like into January, we get bombed.
That's what I should have waited on.
Yeah,
I really
it's kind of the same thing here. It's rare that on Christmas Day it's actually going to snow.
It's usually warm on Christmas.
Well, in California, it's always warm. I do have a light jacket on tonight. Well, it's a Pendleton, I guess. You know, that's, I have a T-shirt and a Pendleton, so that's kind of cold for us. So anyway, now Pete can tell us again now, with Screwdriver, you're going to get in trouble. So I'm going to tell you, if anybody wants to go to Mexico with Screwdriver, you better take me along.
We
Mexican
will.
Jails.
Most definitely.
That's fun. I do have very good contacts in Mexico. I spent among many different parts of my life. I spent 10 years with a large Mexican motorcycle organization, so still can't speak a word. But it is nice to know when you're in a foreign country, you have got people backing you up. I've always liked that. And I need that when I have Screwdriver with me. Pete, what's new in your life, brother? Anything okay out there?
You know, the usual shit. So much going on. I'm calling from my cell phone because my lines are so wet and frozen from the snow, and my house phone just shit the bed.
You know, I'm hearing you say this, and I believe you.
My internet's working, though, which is good. I don't understand that, but the phone's dead. Whenever it rains or snows, the phone line gets wet and it burns it out.
Pete, we should have Pete on November the 12th because we're going to this motorcycle club called the Graveyard Gamblers, all women motorcycle club. Pete would be okay there. Right? What do you think, Screwdriver?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a good time.
Well, we're going to find out what goes with that.
Usually when they get half in the bag, clothes start coming off and shit. It's pretty good.
I'm not sure why they're inviting us there, but, you know.
I just, I wanted to tell you guys, well, I have a minute, because I have a minute, that I haven't been calling in because my dad died on September 23rd of lung cancer.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear
that.
I'm
so sorry for your loss.
Thank you. And I haven't been handling it well because we were estranged, and I think that's what probably bothers me the most. And then my brother just got out of lockup today.
Oh, so yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. And then I get that stupid class that I'm in, the, you know, the quota of the class. I've had to do that. I've been doing that for almost 14 weeks. I'm burnt out, you know, so I need a second.
Got to run down.
Getting old, you know. Getting old. But yeah. I thought I'd call in and just.
No, I appreciate you calling in. You know, we all see a little bit of a
nice
funk tonight.
To meet you, Pete.
Same here. And I know that Bill gets a kick out of when I call in when I mention training bras.
I want to hear that story.
Oh, man. Where do we begin?
Go ahead. You brought it up, sir.
His wife called last time, so I don't think I'll get into it.
No, I called.
Okay, I'll tell you the short version. I called in, I don't know, it was like a couple months ago. And I called in from my house phone, and as soon as I got the blog talk recording, the only thing I heard was I heard Bill, and Bill said, training bras. So I hit number one, and I got in the queue, and they let me on, and then we talked about training. I said, what's this about training bras? You have it's a biker show, you're talking about training bras? So we just busted on Bill a little bit. Then his wife called in, she busted on him, Phil busted on him, and then three other people busted on him.
Okay.
And it's just been like an ongoing joke with us.
And the three women that busted on him were the ones he was trying to get an answer about the socks.
I know. And I do want to point out that I was trying to say about a training manual. I was talking training, and I want to say the word manual, and I have no idea where Brock came from. It just, and there it is. I'm stuck with it.
Okay, we got a special caller calling from London, Bill.
London. Been
Hi,
well?
Guys.
Hi,
Hello.
Everybody.
Hey, you got to stop doing that kinky shit in the bathroom if you're going to knock shit off the wall. You got to be careful.
Jesus Christ. The thing just fell off the wall. I'm like, what on earth was that? Bang. I went, oh, my God. Nearly had a heart attack. But, hey, I've rung in. So, you know, what's happening? What have I missed? Anything? What are you talking about?
You don't want to know what we're talking about. Like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
We have Kitty Cat calling from Canada.
With no snow.
No snow. We have B calling from Boston with snow.
With snow.
And now we have you with...
How's the weather where you are?
It's cold. And I always go, like, I know it sounds really ridiculous because I'm in London, but when I listen to the weather forecast, if I know what it's like in Boston or New York, you can guarantee... I don't know, 48 hours, a couple of days, 2 or 3 days, that whatever weather you've got over there will come across over to us. That's just how it is.
Well, you're probably right about that, but we got snow right now.
You have these, I don't know, these tornadoes or whirlwinds or whatever you bloody call them, you can guarantee after sort of about a day, the winds really pick up here in London. It's really odd.
Some snow there because you're going to be getting some snow because that's what we have in Boston right now, snow.
I've just spoken to my friend. He's saying the same thing. Shit. Yeah, I love
snow. Strange thing, but it is snowing here.
You know, Bill, what was it? 72 and sunny today, Bill?
Clear blue skies. I'd have to wear light pedal shirt
today. It was nice. Water and waves on the way out, and I watched.
Guys, I got to call back at 10:30 because I have to say goodnight to my sweetheart.
Go ahead.
I'll call you back, okay?
No, say goodnight to her here. We want to hear you say goodnight to your sweetheart.
See, now we got...
I want to hear Pete say goodnight to his sweetheart.
Oh,
go ahead,
okay.
Pete.
Oh,
she's not
we
listening.
Want to hear you say goodnight to your sweetheart, Pete.
Well, that'd be you, Bill, but I'm not going to say it on the air.
Never mind.
she's not listening. I didn't tell her I was coming on because she'd get jealous.
No.
Oh, wow.
Pete, I think the doorbell's ringing. Someone's at the front door. Oh, I guess she's got to go now. She's got something different.
I'm calling back at like 10:30-ish, something like that. I'll call right back in.
All right, brother.
And now with sweethearts and training bras.
I got to get this whole... All right, bye.
I'm trying to see.
Because, you know, Bill, I don't even want to go there with the training bra. But, Angela, what did you miss? Well, you missed part of the show about training bras.
Oh, believe you me, you've seen my photos. I'm way out of that stage. I'm saying nothing about that. Dear God. Shit. Okay, so aside from that, what else have you been on? What else have you been talking about? What's going on?
Well, we're talking about motorcycle runs we got going on, we got activities. We're talking about good friends of ours and all women's motorcycle club that's established in California. They're Vasco Garbonetic, big party. And now in California, you have a tendency to, all the women's motorcycle clubs are all lesbians and dykes. This is a women's motorcycle club. Women who ride motorcycles, and their sexual preference has nothing to do with anything at all. These are just strong women riders, and we really appreciate that. I say that because we do go to some of the motorcycle clubs. In fact, I'll tell you very quickly. We're down in San Diego, and this meeting of a very, 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 very large women's club, which is all gay. They asked us to come on down. I'll go anywhere for a party. I was sitting there for a while. There's two guys, 50 women, and this one little blonde was kind of winking at me, and this person named, I won't say listening, I'll get away with it, Brutus walked up to me and said, Bill, you have the wrong package to be here tonight. You're not going to score on anything. So I thought that was pretty strange, but again, female motorcycle clubs, I think we should show up for everybody, whether straight or gay.
Okay. Well, I mean, I ride motorbike, and you know, I kind of, when I first started off, I've got it all the time, you know, old dyke on a bike and all this old shit. I'm like, oh, okay, you can think what you like, but you know, people have like misconceptions. I think, you know, they sort of kind of think because you know a woman rides a motorbike, maybe that they're a lesbian or. You know, got that sort of tendencies. But, hey, you know, there's discrimination, isn't there, in everything, so it's just ignorance.
Well, you know, quickly, I want to say this. I think it's easier to find a woman, oh, she's a dyke, she's a lesbian. If you're a guy and you don't have a motorcycle, you're just pretty damn jealous. You're envious of them. So if you can, in a way, demeanor them, you make yourself feel better. That's why Screwdriver and I strongly support all women to have their own motorcycles, ride independently, ride at the club. We are not intimidated by women riding motorcycles. But the bar talk I hear is, oh, she's probably a dyke or a lesbian. That's what some yahoo didn't even have a motorcycle.
Years. I just take no notice. It just sails over my head. I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, they say what they want to say. That's all good, you know. It's just ignorance. You know,
the things we were talking about was on Saturday, I had to go for something at work in the morning, and on the way back, I stopped and got gas, and I heard a noise in the primary.
On his motorcycle.
My motorcycle, I'm sorry. And I called Bill's shop, and I talked to Cody, and I got there, and we talked a little bit, and then he jumped on my bike and went for a ride and happened to get hit by a BMW making a right turn. Just as we jumped in Bill's nephew's car and rode over there, just as we turned the corner, here comes the fire truck and the ambulance first. No police yet. The bike was full of gas, so it was leaking. So I grabbed stuff and moved it out of the way. And people had Cody off to the side, and they were trying to calm him down and stuff. And the cop shows up on a motorcycle. He's trying to find out information of who did what and what happened where and everything. And the guy in the car is just sitting in the car. And I told him, I said, well, it's my bike. He was test riding it. And Cody has tats on what, about 80%?
Everywhere, yeah.
On about 80% of his body built.
Neck
so,
all the way up to the chin, everywhere. Everywhere.
So they had his shirt up to check his breathing and, you know, see if anything was bleeding under his shirt. And the cop walked up to me and asked me for my license, registration, and proof of insurance. I handed it to him. And I said, we're not here for that. We're here for the guy on the ground over there. And he goes, I'll be with you in a minute. He turns and walks 3 feet from me, and this is the exact words. I'd like wants and warrants on my name, Philip. And I think he had Cody's license at this time.
Yeah.
He was trying to get Cody. And I'm surprised he didn't ask Kyle for his. But They were upset that they had nothing they could arrest me for. But when the gas was coming out, one of my saddlebags completely ripped off the bike. The hammer was on the other saddlebag, which was still on a bike, but it was barely hanging on. My saddlebag had opened, and my saddlebag was a 45 with a couple of clips. And he's dying to get into that bag, and I told him, we ain't here for that. Unless you got a warrant, you ain't looking in that bag. So he called the sergeant, and the sergeant came, and he asked me a couple of questions, and I told him the same thing. We're not here for me. We're here for the guy over there. So as soon as they get him out of here, I'd like you guys to call the tow truck, take the bike around the corner. But they were frothing at the mouth. They wanted to make an accident report and an arrest at the same time. But I was contemplating, Bill, on making a citizen's arrest because the fucker was a rude prick. On Monday, I made his day because I turned in an IA complaint on him. So
you see, I tell people, you can either ignore it, you can deal with it, you can fight back. You don't have to take everybody and sue them and all that, but you need to hold people that are abusing their power, you need to put them in check. If arrest case, we'll get down to the police station. Can I tell you something quickly about England while I'm here? What are you in London or what city are you from?
London.
Okay. Last time I was over in London, I was walking by Speaker's Corner. You know what that is, right?
Yes, right, yeah.
Okay, I'm just walking by with my wife, and I'm just saying, you know, here I am, yada, yada. And some guy's up a little step ladder, and he's really just tearing these Muslims apart. Older guy, four, big. Now, I'm 6 foot 220, so these were big Muslims with walking sticks. All started to confront him. And my wife says, what are you going to do? Hey, my business, I ain't no Muslim. She said, those Muslims are going to beat this old man up. And I went, oh, jeez. I walked up and I separated the minister from these four giant Muslims. And I was going to talk to them. Always go for the big guy. That's my theory. One way or another,
get over.
And just as I said, stop, the minister said, and the only thing worse than you Muslims in England, the only thing screwing up England is you damn Irish Catholics out there. And by the way, my wife looks at me, and I looked at him, and I said to the Muslims, hey, boys, have a nice day. You're on your own. What? I probably got my ass.
So do you
I do enjoy going to England. I do want to say this, and I hope it's not too disrespectful. London is the only city that I go that, and I go to a nice restaurant, a glass of wine comes to my table. And I always ask the waiter, maitre d', whatever, which jerk to send my wife a drink. It's never a drink for my wife. I'm in London. Men send me drinks. I don't know what it is.
You've got to be in the wrong part of town.
I just want to point that out.
I told you to dye your hair.
London's
you
very
think,
peculiar. There's places in London you go, and there's places in London you don't go. So you're obviously frequenting the wrong places.
I know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If someone dies buying your drinks, you're definitely in the wrong part of town.
You know? Jesus Christ. And London's full of that, let me be telling you. So,
so is Montreal. We have our own gay little village.
You do?
Yeah.
We have one in San Diego, and but only in London do men send me drinks. And I thought, I'm with my wife. You would think that, I don't know what they're thinking. I'm with my sister or something. But no one.
It could be your friend. They don't know.
I don't know.
They're looking at that. They're just looking at you. Think of what a nice piece of meat you are.
Yeah, I got that Sean Connery look going on, you know. Yeah.
Oh, see, there you go.
Well, there you see. See, exactly. You've answered your own question. But London's pretty cool, you know. Bloody hell. Oh, dear. But the police over your way, going back to them, they're just something else, you know. Oh, dear.
Bill, she has an interesting story she'd like to talk about when she was on her trip to Boston.
Oh, she met up with
what?
Pete? No.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
no?
Tell Bill what you told me about what happened in Boston with the vets.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, okay. Oh, sorry, this way. Okay.
Anything you want to say?
Couple of stories. Yeah, okay. I was walking towards, well, I was in the centre of Boston, and I was going towards, what's that famous shop up there? Anyway, it's like a closed departmental place, you know. And it was really cold. It was in February, so the snow was down. And there was a man sitting on the pavement, on the sidewalk, whatever you call it, with just one leg, and he just had a blanket wrapped around him, and I walked past, everybody was walking past him. And I thought, do you know something? I'm in America, why should I just walk past people, you know, that are like that? So I walked back. I thought, I must have been, I don't know, it was a bit heart-wrenching. So I walked back and I sort of crouched down, you know, sort of, oh, God, in a fur coat, can you imagine, and my good boots. Crouched down and I was like saying, hey, you know, what's going on? And he was like, just chatting really nice. And then he was saying how he'd been, he'd had his egg blown off in the war, well, not in the war, but in Iraq or Afghanistan, over that way, just going back a little time. And then the police came. Well, I was scared of the police because the police over here, our police in England, they don't carry guns. And they're kind of a bit more, they are bully boys, but they're not like your police. They're not like all 6 foot tall and massive and whatnot. So this police car stopped. It's like a black police car, not the regular police car, but it was a black police car. And then he said, excuse me. He goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm just talking. No, he said, you can't. I said, what do you mean? I said, oh, hold on a minute. So I got up, and he was saying, you know, who are you? What's your name? Blah, blah, blah. I said, I'm here on holiday. I was stopping at the Omni Parker Hotel, da, 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 da. And then he said to me, well, you can't talk to him. I said, what do you mean I can't talk to him? He goes, oh, no. He said, he's dangerous. Well, I thought he was taking the piss. You know, I thought he was trying to be funny. And I looked at him. I thought, well, this guy's only got one leg. How can he be dangerous, you know? So anyway, the police moved me on. And you know, I went back in the night time to see if I could still find the man, but he'd gone. So that was one story. And then
they probably told him to hobble on out of there because that's what they do.
Well, I don't know. And then there was another guy, and he goes, he stopped me. He goes, have I got any money for a cup of coffee? And I was right standing by McDonald's. This is in Boston, you know. So because I like chat to people and that, and I was going, oh, asking him things. He goes, he's an old vet. And you could kind of tell that he was. I don't know, he had that look about him, you know. And then I went, oh, look, I said, I don't have a deal of money on me because when I go and travel, I obviously take everything plastic, da, 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 da. But I did have a bit of money on me. So anyway, I gave him $10. It's nothing. So he was like, oh, my God. He goes, are you sure? I was like, yeah, you know. I said, tell you what. I said, come on, let's go to McDonald's. Right? So we went in McDonald's. And then I just, like, buy him a burger and me, I had a burger and what. Just sat down, just talking. And I met him a couple of times when I was over there, you know. And that's why when I went on to Facebook, onto the VA blog, whatever it is, you know, the page
yeah.
up there, it
yeah.
real pissed me off because, oh, I'm not American, I'm not, you know, but I have been over there and I have witnessed, you know, things. And there's a woman that's like really made a derogatory comment, like, hey, Andrew, you know, what would you know? And I'm like, what would I know? Fuck you, lady, you know, I've been there amongst these people.
Yeah, we're amongst them all the time. We're going to be amongst them Saturday. I don't know if you heard the show the other night, but I got these people on from All From The Heart. And what they do is they get motorized wheelchairs for the vets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're donated. If they're new, used, whatever, this guy refurbishes them and they take them down and donate them at the VA. And this is one of their fundraisers Bill and I are going to participate in on Saturday.
Pretty much anything.
See, I have a real issue with all of this. I really do. I get on my high horse for this, so you're going to have to kind of bear with me. I lost my cousin in Afghanistan.
Let me tell you this. You can say, do, feel, however you want. You can talk from the heart here.
I get really emotional with things, you know. That's because
that's okay. I do too. See me on the side of the road with two cops. They're scratching their head because they think I'm gonna fucking.
Would you let this lady?
Well, I was gonna say my nephew is no, you're cool. My nephew, he's over there fighting. He's due back soon. Right, my cousin was shot and killed over there. You know. Now, my dad was in the army, blah, 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 da, 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 da. But when you come back from these war-torn, stricken, whatever you want to call it, places, there is nothing, I don't know so much about America, and I am learning fast, but in England, there are no, there's no structural, what do you call it? There's nothing for soldiers, veterans, whatever you want to call, you know, there's nothing in place. There's no placements. They come back, they're expected to, like, go into an office job. They've got post-traumatic stress disorder. There's no counselling. There's absolutely nothing, you know. And as I said before, it's like they're like a disposable commodity for their countries, you know. And it's just really sad. And I get really upset about it.
When the military, you go to boot camp, basic camp. They teach you how to become a soldier. Now, when it's time to get out, they say goodbye. You don't know how to get back in the civilian world or anything. You went through 2 or 3 months, depending on what you were there, to train to be a soldier. And then one day they said, okay, you're done, get out. We don't prepare that for this at all. I do want to point out this, too, and I don't mean to sidetrack a little bit. Screwdriver and I would like to ask both you ladies, swing by your local VA hospital if you can. We just stop by intermittently. You don't have to spend the whole day, just 5 or 10 minutes in there, walk in there. There's always veterans in the wheelchairs at the front door. Now, as you walk in there, please do not be uncomfortable. Do not look over their heads and ignore them. Just nod your head down and say, hello, how you doing? Hey, where are you from? I'm from Texas. I'm from Louisiana. Whatever the hell.
I'll tell you what, if I saw Angelus walking towards me while I was sitting in a wheelchair, I'd get a Woody.
Well, oh,
maybe
yeah.
We... wheelchair,
don't say
maybe,
that.
You know?
I mean, I know I look a certain way, but actually I'm really down to earth, you know. And I do, you know, and I have mixed with people like that, with street people. Even when I was in Brazil, I spent all my time with street people in favelas and whatnot, for God's sake. You know, that's what I'm like. I like to meet people and meet proper people, you know, the country's people. Not the ones that live in their fucking fairyland bloody castles, you know. It's not what it's about.
I think I need, I realize the problem here. I think Canada should come to San Diego and visit. I think London should come to San Diego. See, it's warm weather. Why would you go to in the snow? What were you, Elves?
It's mad. But I went from Boston and then I flew down to Rio de Janeiro, so it wasn't so bad.
That's gorgeous, yes. Screwdriver and I do go to Mardi Gras and Ensenada, parades, floats, carnival, dancing in the street. I have never been to Rio for Mardi Gras.
I was there for it. It was fantastic.
Oh.
You got to get down to Kink.
Got to work on my samba dancing. You know, I'm ready.
You know, Bill, if we drive down to La Paz,
yeah,
on the bikes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get on the ferry, it takes...
I don't get on ferries.
Listen, it takes 17 hours to get across... Cortez.
I'm not getting on any ferry at all.
Mazatlan or Cancun?
I don't do ferries. I don't get on ferries. I'm never going to... Is there a boat that goes across?
Yeah.
I'll get on
a boat.
I don't get on ferries.
They call it a ferry, but it's a boat.
You call it what you want. I don't get on ferries. I'm glad you guys finally caught that. Thank you. I appreciate that humor. You know. I want to point out briefly that with this stuff going on in the overseas and sandbox, Iran, Iraq, et cetera, et cetera... For the first time with these suicide bombers, our women are coming home disfigured. Our women are coming home missing an arm or a leg. Our women are coming home with their face ripped by shrapnel. And when I'm talking to them in San Diego, they're telling me, Bill, look at me. We women can see a man missing an arm or a leg. We can see a man based upon his character. You men are so shallow. Who's going to take me dancing, Bill? Who's going to take me out to a nice dinner? Look at my face. So we have a whole new set of problems with these suicide bombers because so many of, not just our women, Canadians fighting, that we have people fighting from all over, our women are coming home disfigured. Now, being an American, it's hard for me to see a woman that's injured. It's not my psyche. I'm not prepared to see that. So I also invite, especially you women, if you get a chance to stop at the hospital, say hello. There are things that a woman will say to a woman they won't say to me, even though I'm very easygoing, very monotone.
Bill, the only thing the guys say to us when we leave is, when are we bringing the strippers back?
I wasn't going to go there. Okay, sometimes Screwdriver and I bring strippers down to VA hospital. Now, listen to me. It's a more... Oh, no, listen, come on. Give me a break here. Some, you know, they get tired of looking at Screwdriver and I. We bring a few strippers in, and you know what? Somebody's having a great day.
Oh, for sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I can go with that.
I don't have a problem with that.
No. If it makes them happy and it boosts morale, then go for it. Exactly, you know. My God.
Where were you when I needed help?
Sorry?
Where were you when I needed help?
When did you ever need help?
That's a long time ago. Oh, no, a long time ago. Two years. He crashed very severe in the freeway. And he couldn't move his right hand, and he was all alone in the hospital.
If you'd have called,
no, I ended up. I got hit by a drunk driver going 80 miles an hour, and my right shoulder is bolted on.
I do want to tell you, ladies, when he recovered, he went for his first bike ride.
Oh yeah,
and we were going
like this.
We have a friend of ours that fight. You guys like that cage fighting? You ever watch that at all? That martial arts cage fighting?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we have friends of ours that
do that.
They are not amateurs. These are guys' names you know. And we have one of our friends who's a promoter. They opened a brand new gym up at Dojo, whatever the hell they call them. They want a screwdriver and I to come over and watch. I don't know why. It's a bunch of sweaty men. I don't know what that's all about. But we went over anyway. So we're easy. We got two motorcycles. Screwdriver's back on the bike for the first time. And we're rolling about 60 miles an hour. And I notice he's in a lot of pain because the wind is blowing against his chest and it's hurting his arm. So do you know what I did? I pushed up to 70. And he had a lot more pain. And then a couple miles from the dojo, I pushed up to about 85. By the time he got to the dojo, he was in so much freaking pain, he's yelling. But you know, that's what friends are for.
Yeah.
To kick you when you're down, you know.
They weren't exactly sure how I was going to handle it. On the ride. It was the first ride.
And so I pushed it kind of. I do want to point out to you, a friend of ours was in an accident. He's been for life. Yes, buddy, what you got?
$45,000.
Oh, friend of ours was in an accident, and he's crippled for life. And I contacted the hospital, and they said he was not responding. He's never going to respond, actually. He's going to be in the wheelchair for his life. But he wasn't responding to the therapy. Nothing was working. So I found out that the last therapy was 6 o'clock. So from 7 o'clock on, he had nothing. 10 of us went down to the hospital. We had long jackets, you know, blah, blah, blah. We went in. I spoke to the nurse, and I said, is there any other therapy or any other sessions? And she said, no. I said, well, my name is Reverend Kennedy. This is his church group. We'd like to go and pray for a bit. The girl said, that'd be fine. We went in, and the door to the my friend's room opened in. So once we all were in, 10 of us, I put two big guys against the door. That door is not going to come in for anything. We talked a few minutes, and then we had a little tape recorder. I pressed the tape recorder for some music, and he's still saying, hey, everybody, hey, everybody, and all that, the wheelchair being depressed. From the back, this girl ripped off her coat, and she was a full-on stripper. Now, she's a little girl, and the wheelchair is kind of wide, so she wasn't quite working with the wheelchair. It's too wide. So we stopped her. We grabbed our partner out of the wheelchair, threw him back on the bed, and she jumped up on the bed and reminded him that he is a man, and he should be happy, and he should be proud of being a man. We stayed there for about 45 minutes, and we left, and I thanked the nurses and all that. I call up the next day to check on my friend, and she says, the head nurse says, Mr. Kennedy, your church group was so wonderful. He's cheerful and happy. This is just great, Mr. Kennedy. We're so glad you came down. But then the big mouth told one nurse, I guess. So next time I go down a week ago, and they're going, oh, Reverend Kennedy, how's your church group? I'm going, oh. But I know that this may not seem like normal, but my friends aren't that normal. I thought that the therapy in the hospital wasn't working. Let me bring down a stripper. Can anybody at least give me an A for trying? Anybody?
Sure.
Thank you. Is anybody proud of it? Probably not, but...
You
got to
do what you got to do.
Sometimes you got to do, you know, whatever it takes, right?
Yeah, you know.
Put a smile on somebody's face, make their day.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, because most people think, well, why are you that way? I am the way I am. It's just, we have a lot of vets coming on right now with
lot of head issues. The shrinks are
a lot of head issues.
The shrinks say they're not working. They come down to our motorcycle shop because they were bikers before. They're bikers now. They can relate to the oil. They can relate to the Harley Davidsons. They can begin to start to come out of their shell, and they can talk to other vets that are all messed up at my shop. We do this because I think motorcycles reaches for some of us. Now, my own problem with strippers.
That's your own problem.
I think that if it helps people, who am I hurting, you know?
Exactly.
So,
but yeah, to get back to the thing about the vets, Bill.
Yes.
She's absolutely right because nothing happens. You know, I call for an appointment for my yearly checkup.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be in June. You know when I go, Bill? March. 2012.
You could be dead by then.
Yeah.
And you know that we mentioned that Bob Murray, I hope he's not listening tonight. Bob Murray's got about a year left to go.
Yeah.
And you've seen the tiny lady, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are vets that are, I don't know, I think they're using experimental drugs. They're trying something, and I don't know. We have a lot of our vet friends have come back.
Last year we had a rough year. We buried, what, almost 15 people?
Yeah, a lot. You know,
Can someone ask
go ahead.
A question?
Sure.
It's a sexual question. It's of a sexual nature, but it's not meant to... I don't want this to sound like derogatory or whatever to any of the men out there if they're listening and they're vets. But why is it that a lot of these... And I'm speaking about the guys now that come back, find it difficult to have sex.
It's all tied into your brain. But go ahead. You want to jump this, Ralph?
Go ahead.
Right. I'm asking because I was wondering, over in England, they have given, I don't even know if I meant to tell you this, but it's only because of people I know, they gave our soldiers some kind of injection business. Now, what these injections are for, I can't tell you because I really don't know. But when they came back, they couldn't maintain a sexual relationship with their partners, wives, you know. Why can't they get it up? What's going on?
Well, I will explain that then. When you're having a hard time getting employment and you're having a hard time putting food on the table for your family and your children, when you're having a hard time blending in, all this stuff all comes together. Think of it as a jigsaw puzzle, okay?
Mm-hmm.
One piece of jigsaw puzzle is the good times in your life. One piece of jigsaw puzzle is the bad times in your life. One piece is the money you have. One piece of the family. All the pieces have to come together. Well, these returning vets, men and women, are not coming back to the home life they had. Maybe they don't feel they're man enough to maintain their family anymore. Sex is only great. Well, for guys, it's always great. I'm sorry. But actually, if everything isn't working right, it's not as good, if that makes any sense at all. They went overseas one way, they've come back another way, and they can't provide for their family. Maybe they don't have the college education to get the upper-level jobs. They can't maintain a nice house. And, of course, let's throw in alcohol and drugs. Alcohol takes away the drive. All these factors have to account. It's no one thing. But if you think of the giant jigsaw puzzle, all this stuff affects it. If I don't think I'm man enough to take care of my family. I don't think I'm man enough to have sex with my wife. I'm not man enough for her.
Well, it's just everything they come back with.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got nothing to do with any kind of drugs that have been administered.
It's in your head.
No, it's in your head.
It's in your head.
If you guys remember the Beirut bombing in Lebanon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go on.
Right here, Bill. There's a piece of plate right there.
I'm not gonna. He's saying that he was a part of that.
I was there.
Bombing. Yeah.
I was there.
He has a big plate in his head. This is not, you know, not trying. This is just the way it is.
And
he's doing the best he can.
Yeah. When I came back.
But you've been a very strong person.
Yeah, but when I still have issues with PTSD, but...
Oh, shit, yes. Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, we can laugh about it now, but, yeah. I mean, yeah. when I get in a mood, it's...
As many of our friends in the room... You know, I got to say this to you. If you were taught in kindergarten, you know, love your neighbor and all that, then you go to church and all that, thou shalt not kill, okay? And... you don't ever get into a fight, or maybe you get into a small fight in school. Maybe you throw some punches. That's it. You go to a foreign country, and you kill people.
Mm-hmm.
You were told for 18 and 19 years of your life, do not kill. Thou shalt not kill.
Bill, I was raised. Now, I was raised Catholic, Bill.
Yeah.
I was an altar boy. Yeah, all that shit.
And me, Irish Catholic. Okay, we're both Irish, by the way. How do you think it affects your head to be told over and over and over, you don't go around killing people, and you've killed 25, 30 or more? How can that possibly be? You can't be given 18, 19 years of instruction and go somewhere and do something that you're told not to do. You're questioning everything. And again, it's all this stuff all fits together. That's why the relationships are breaking down. Families can't stay together, and we fall into deeper and deeper drugs and alcohol.
That plus the fact, Bill, that they say, yeah, we're going to take care of this, and we're going to take care of that for you, and don't worry about it while you're over there and all that bullshit. And how many guys do we know have lost their house? How many guys do we know have lost their cars, their bikes, their family?
Yeah, well, even the women are living in their cars.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't want to say
they were lying.
It's pretty sad when they tell you, you know, you're going to be taken care of, and they all come home. They've got nothing to come home to.
And, you know, I want to say to you, when you have this mentality change, when you come home, you come home with your wife and children say, who the hell are you? Where's the husband? Where's the father that went overseas? We don't know you. And then the family start breaking down, and that's another sad aspect of it.
Well, it is. You know, they come back with all kinds of images in their head and issues. But they have nobody to talk to, nobody there to say, hey, it's okay.
Who I've spoken to, like, they're really good friends of mine. I won't name names, right? So, you know, but they actually said to me, because I asked about this, because I just couldn't, I can't understand it. I'll never be able to understand it because I've never been in a war. So, you know, I can only sort of imagine. And they said to me, it's not the people that we kill. It's when you're standing next to your best friend and they get their head blown off.
Yep.
And that is what affects them. Oh, that's what the person I'm on about said. That's what had affected him the most was the loss of his friends, not the fact that they had to kill whoever they were killing. That didn't come into it. It was because it's when their friends get their heads blown off or their legs blown off.
No, it's like when the bomb goes off and you're trying to you've got pieces of your friend all over you and you're trying to
put that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
put it back together and it ain't working.
Your life has changed. Forever.
I'm sure you see your friends, your ally, you know, they're all getting blown to pieces.
Mm. But it's just tragic, and this is what I'm saying. There's no
horrible thing that they have to see in their lives.
Yeah, but it's horrendous. There's no counselling. There's there's no placements for them when they come back home. They're expected to work a job behind, you know, in an office pushing a pen. How can that ever work? Without some counselling or guidance or God knows what, you know?
We'll talk about some crazy, crazy hypocrisy here. You've seen the big airplanes that drop the bombs, B-29s, are they?
Yeah.
You girls have seen big planes, right? They drop bombs, right? You seen big planes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pilot and that crew can fly over to a country and drop bombs and kill who knows how many people. But... You know, on the airplanes, they paint little slogans on the airplane, you know. They can't use bad word painted on their airplane, but they can fly over and kill people. The military does not want any type of a swear word painted on the airplane, but it's okay to go over and drop bombs and kill.
No, Bill, it's the ground pounders that paint all the graffiti on the walls and shit.
Yeah. Anyway. I didn't. Screw that,
they have
I
strange
worked.
Policies.
Yeah, we were.
You know, there's a thing going on, Bill, where, you know, I showed you that article and you kind of pointed out to me too, and I said, yeah, there's We have 76 documented gangs a mile
right.
from my front door on the base.
Right.
Right? Okay. And the theory that the FBI came up with the other day was the fact that these guys are coming home and they're still looking for that adrenaline rush.
Sure.
So like we said, they're buying the 10,000 RPM pocket rocket, they're buying whatever, and they're also hanging out with guys at their own thing, and they're getting into stupid shit.
Well, you and I have a crutch too, though.
Yeah.
Our crutch is our motorcycle. I assure you that, ladies, that if I didn't have the motorcycle, I would not be stable at all. It is the one factor that just keeps everything perfect in tune for me in my life. I know I can jump on the bike 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, go for a ride. It is the catalyst that keeps me absolutely grounded. Touching the motorcycle, sitting on the motorcycle. If it's pouring rain, I'm just sitting in the garage. It's what I have to keep me together. It is a crutch, though. I accept that. People take drugs. That's a crutch. Alcohol.
But everybody,
that's a crutch.
Everybody has to have a crutch of some
kind.
We
found ours. Screwdriver and I found ours in the motorcycle world. We were bikers before. We're bikers now and all that. We have that. So many people coming back
don't have anything.
Don't know what
they don't have anything to hold on to.
No. No, the other day, like I
yeah,
said.
Yeah, they just fall through the cracks and end up on the street.
The other day, like I said, Bill knew I would have started having withdrawals. So I was riding a street bob with, what are they, 10-inch?
Yeah, pullback.
10-inch T-bars.
Yeah.
And he could see it in my face when I left that it was bugging me in my shoulder. And today I went and he gave me a different bike to ride while they're fixing mine. But no, that one was
yeah
a lot better.
I am, again, we do own.
But I was jonesing, he wanted me jonesing while trying to get my bike fixed.
I do own a motorcycle shop, my brother Mike Kennedy, and we do have Harley Davidson's. We needed to get some insurance all square. We took care of about 10 minutes like that. But for Philip to be out of a motorcycle, for Philip not to have the stability factor, I know he'd just go downhill quicker. And he's been in many situations with me, and I know for the fact it's the motorcycle that has kept he and I, it's not just you, he and I stable together. Everybody has to find
their own
stability.
Crutch.
Yes, crutch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I had just where I worked the other day, well, no, about 3 weeks ago, and I didn't think I told you about this. They wanted me to go out and shoot paintballs with them. Get all cammied up, you know, and go play war on the fuck. And I said, I'm the last guy you want to take out there. Because what if I have a flashback and I kill somebody? Oh,
yeah.
No, man, that'll never happen. I said, you guys just don't know. They've never been in the military. They don't have a fucking clue.
No, and people, that's what happens. How many people don't go to war?
Yes.
The ones that do live it, I don't live it. So I don't know what you go through. What they go through over there, they do. Because they see it, they're living it. We're just the ones sitting back thanking everybody for going there to fight for us. But nobody's done enough for you guys over here or anywhere saying, hey, what the hell, do something.
Yeah, but
Screwdriver
we are acknowledging
and I don't
them.
But there are people that need help. Screwdriver and I are hard enough, we're lucky enough, we work. We are going to take care of our own lives. We try to help, and I'm thinking, why isn't the government helping our sons and daughters coming back from overseas? Why aren't they saying, we're right here for you? We
well, they
you
should
over
be
there.
Doing some. They're the ones sending them over there.
Not doing enough. Not doing enough.
They don't do anything about enough. They don't do fuck all. Oh, it gets me cross. Over here, anyway, they do absolutely
they're sending them
nothing.
Over there for the war. When they come back, they should be giving them some help, a little, you know.
Yeah, but there's nothing over here. There's absolutely nothing. Nothing. Mm-hmm. For them. In fact, I'd probably say about 50% of them that come home are probably in prison.
Yeah, that's the next step. Drugs, alcohol,
you know?
Crime.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Really?
And then,
yes.
You know, uh-huh. It's not good over here. And you've got to remember, England's a small island in comparison to America. So on per ratio, it's far greater over here. It's horrendous. I get
interesting enough,
about it.
England's always been there for Vietnam. England's been there for all. England steps up and goes out pretty much everywhere. That's quite interesting. We have a couple of friends of ours who live in America now, former I don't know, SAS or whatever the military stuff is over there. They're all living here in America now. These are all warriors that are just, they didn't have to go to Vietnam. They didn't have to do any stuff there. They volunteered. Help.
Yeah.
We have all across the world.
It's very strange how it all happens. You know, this is why I think, you know, maybe England and America are very friendly in that sense, you know. Personally, that's what I think.
Let me ask both you two ladies a question. Please answer first one, second one. Now, Screwdriver and I are vets. You call me tomorrow. Call Screwdriver tomorrow. We'll go back in if it's something, you know, has to be done. I don't know today I want my children to go in. Now, the question to you ladies is either one, first one. Let's start with England first. If there was if your government wanted your children to go to war, what would you say to your children?
Well, I don't have children.
You do. Today, knowing what you know today.
No.
Okay, Canada, can I ask you the same thing, please?
I would say no. I wouldn't want them to go. But that would be their choice.
I wouldn't stop myself from going, I mean, because I went. But I'm so disillusioned by the hypocrisy of it all. I don't think I wouldn't want to send my child and have somebody come home who I don't even recognize anymore. Like, Screwdriver and I are kind of a little off base.
Must
be tough on our family.
It's your children. Nobody wants to have their child come home disfigured.
Nobody wants to have their child come home dead.
Oh, nobody wants to have some strange man standing at their door saying, your son's not coming home or your daughter's not coming home. Nobody wants that. So, no, you know, you can tell your child not to go, but, you know, if that's the choice they're going to make, are you really going to be able to stop them from going?
I think if England was English, for me, sounds ridiculous, if England hasn't, because England's really gone absolutely, well, it's not England anymore, but if England was England and my child wanted to fight for their country, I'd be really, really proud. But over the past, say, 30, maybe even 40 years, England has gone from predominantly British, for want of a better word, to this multicultural melting fucking pot that none of us asked for. I didn't want to live in a multicultural society. I was quite happy, you know, just plodding around, you know, with my own kind of people. I really, really wouldn't want any child of mine this day and age to fight for a country that isn't even recognizable as their own.
No, I want to say quickly about that. My last trip to England, I get off the airplane, blah, blah, blah. I went to Victoria Station. And in Victoria Station, I just picked the phone up. I said, I need a place to stay because I'm really tired, irritable. And they said, 3 blocks away or 4 blocks something, there's a place. I'll just take it. I jumped in a cab, and I don't know where I was because all I could do was smell was curry. I smelled curry up and down the streets. I didn't see any other white people. They're all Pakistani.
They
really didn't want me there. It's crazy. I'm thinking, where's England? Where is England? And it's a different England now, as you say. It's a different England.
It's awful. It's absolutely, unless you've actually seen it and been over and witnessed it, you'd never ever believe it. Because it is unbelievable, you know.
You still have those neighbors?
Actually, funnily enough, you saying that, me and my... I mean, I shouldn't really gossip, but I am a woman, so I can kind of get away with it a little. I'm actually convinced they're growing some sort of pot plants in there.
And not sharing?
Well, I don't smoke. So,
me neither,
but honestly. But I actually am convinced, you know, that they're growing some sort of, yes, I don't know, pot, marijuana, plants, whatever you want to call it. Mm. Because they're never there, but all they do is they keep putting money on the electric meter.
And yours?
No, not on my meter, on their meter. They have a pay-as-you-go electric meter.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
They're trying to do that here.
Huh?
They're trying to do that here.
yeah, it's a good idea because you pay for it as you go along, you know. But, yeah, he's just putting, he pulls up like early in the morning just because I can hear the electric because he's right next door, and does the electric box, puts the electric on, and then buggers off again. Well, there's no one in there. So why would you put electric on every day, every couple of days?
You're right. There's something something.
There's something a little weird there.
What they say in England? What?
It's hot.
It could be, you know.
Come,
what do you need electricity for if there's nobody home?
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's like, okay, let them carry on, you know. But I'd actually rather have ganja plants or pot plants growing next door than a bunch of bloody niggers, thank you very much. Sorry.
No.
I mean, I'm not racist.
I do understand that.
You know? Under the circumstances. Oh, God, I haven't offended anyone. I didn't mean to. But,
people,
you know,
people have a right to live where they want to live. People have a right to want to have their children grow up where they want. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, totally agree. But what I don't agree with is when you're trying to get to sleep at a reasonable hour, and you've got music blasting through the walls at 2 and 3 in the morning.
That doesn't happen here.
If you're going to live in England, then please, you know, can you abide, sort of, go by our rules? That's sort of like bed at 11 and up at 8, and not the other way around.
People are blasting music at 11 o'clock. I'm at their door.
You know? You know, and it's nothing, it's not a racist thing. It's just like, you know, this. You can't come over to a country and behave as you would in your own country. It doesn't work.
They
know?
Do it anyway.
Well, they do, and I don't want to live next door to music going at 2 and 3 in the morning. Thank you very much.
And you know, there's nothing wrong with it. It's kind of sad that in America today, I can go down the corner and somebody can yell, Black Power! And you say, right on, and go down the street, and brown power, right on. And then if I say white power, hey, why are you saying that, man? What's wrong with you?
You're racist.
It's really difficult because, I mean, none of us are born racist, but it does kind of make you a little bit that way, you know? My poor best friend, Pam, she's had to move up by the coast. Because they moved, God knows what they moved in next door to her, but they were playing out on the balcony at 4:30 in the bloody morning to Allah. I mean, come on, you know, that's a little bit.
Well, you know, when I was 5 years old, my mother told me that happiness was the key to life. So when I went to school, they asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I wrote down happy. They told me I didn't understand the assignment.
We're a deep, deep guy here. Yeah.
And I told them I didn't understand, and I told them that they didn't understand life.
Mm-hmm. You know, just basically also in America, at our colleges and our junior colleges, you can have a black club, and you can have a brown power club. You can't have a white club on a college university. That's racist. Well, if white people want to stick together, that's their prerogative. If brown people want to sit together... Why can't you be with who you want to be with? You know, I don't understand that at all. And I don't think that's, I don't care what anybody thinks about that. That's how I feel about life. I want to be with who I want to be with. And I don't,
exactly.
Benjamin Franklin, our great statesman back in the day, he said, your rights stop where the tip of my nose starts. So all I'm asking you is don't force your issues upon me. I will let you live in peace. Let me live in peace. That's how.
No, but I mean, it's like even here when we go to work.
Yeah.
You know, you got the Muslims who at noon they go on their little carpets and pray. Why are they allowed at noon to go on their carpet and pray and I can't? Because they're Muslim and I'm white.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is where it all falls down, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
You know? I mean, in England, they've got these little, I don't know, they're not little groups they go to. You know, they've got these racial discrimination groups. So if you accidentally, but if you say to one of them, oh, you black bastard or whatever, they can go running to that, to our housing associations, like the council, I don't know what you'd call it over there, and then we can get kicked out because we've been racist. But they can turn around to us and say, oh, you know, you white so-and-sos or you honky so-and-sos, and that's fine.
Well, you in England, you have a motorcycle helmet law, don't you? Is that correct?
Yes, we do.
But not for everybody. Because if you have a turban...
No, not for everybody. You're right.
If you have
no
a turban,
seats,
you don't
no.
have motorcycle helmets.
That's right. That's right. You're quite right. The Sikhs, or whatever, Sikhs, yeah? They
yes,
just have to wear their turbans, that's all.
Yeah, why can't there be one law for everybody? How can we say, well, no, because of religious preference, you don't have to wear a helmet, but Screwdriver and I were Irish Catholic boys, so you have to wear a helmet. Well,
yeah, but that shouldn't even come into play.
Yes, it
should. It should be one law for everybody, not one law for certain and one law for another.
Yeah, but
that's just not right.
That's over here, sis. This is what it's like, and he's right. That's exactly what it's like over here. I mean, I'm really lucky. My next-door neighbour the other side's from Dublin. And he doesn't get much more Irish than that, you know. And he's a really great guy, Christopher, you know. And then the guy next door to him is Irish as well. So I'm kind of living in a block that's full of Irish people. So that's
what's wrong with that?
The lucky
it's fantastic.
Lady.
Fantastic. I absolutely love it. But then I love Ireland and I love the Irish people. So
have any of them showed you their shillelagh yet?
No. No, but at Christmas we have a real old, like, drink. They all drink and we out dancing and that. It's fun round here for that, you know. I kind of live on a...
Years ago, I went to Ireland. I went to England for the first time. And I was one block down and two blocks over from 10 Downing Street, the Prime Minister's house there for you people who are in England. And the Irish Republican Army set off a bomb. Next time I went over to visit England, on my way to Ireland, I can't think of the name of this big store, Irish Republic, they set off another bomb. I'm still five blocks away from it. My last trip, I'm in Ireland, I go back to England, and I'm staying there, and I'm getting the Gatwick Express to the airport. Is that correct?
Yes.
20 minutes after I'd gone, 20 people are killed in Victoria Station. I think 200 wounded. I missed that. So I swear to God, as a nice Irish Catholic boy, before I go to England again, I'm going to tell them where I'm going, what time I'm going, to make sure there's no more damn bombs going off.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So whereabouts in Ireland do you go?
Oh, I stay in Southern Ireland. My family's all from Galway Bay, Ireland. And I, of course, you know.
Mayo.
I have
Mayo and County. Mine are from Mayo and County Cork.
I hope you can. Canada can appreciate this, too. In Galway Bay, I'm walking down cement sidewalks knowing that 20 years ago they were blacktop, and then 50 years before that it was dirt, but it's the same roads that my ancestors took. So I find a lot of comfort walking down the same roads knowing that my relatives, my ancestors, all walked up and down this. So I get a big kick out of that. But I can't make no money in that country. It's a poor country. I just can't find a way to do it. And besides that, it rains in Ireland. Jesus, it rains.
Yeah,
in California, I can't take that, you know.
Oh, I love
Ireland. Can't find many motorcycle clubs or anything out there, you know. There are clubs there. I just couldn't find that many with the bad weather and all that. Well, we've talked all around everywhere, ladies. We are running down. I don't want to just push anybody out. Did Pete come back?
No,
he hasn't. 96. Pete, you listening to us?
Yeah.
We got 90 seconds, Pete. You want to ask the ladies anything?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We all can hear you, Pete.
I'm glad that I sent my my dues for my hood and my robe. after listening to this show. I'm glad I sent those monthly dues in to maintain my robe and my hood. We are the original boys in the hood.
Talking about how we feel. That alone, you know?
Well, I got something here, Bill. This is This is good.
Here's another one.
Hey, you guys got to... It doesn't matter. As long as you're on the phone, we can still archive this. If you guys want to listen to some... You know who George Carlin is?
The comedian.
Nope.
Okay.
Because you're too young.
Angel, do you know who George Carlin is?
No.
Yep.
All right, you know who he is, right?
The comedian.
Oh, this is...
Yeah.
Hey, this is his take on rights and privileges in America. Check this out.
Just a few specific cuts. Bearing on the Bible. You understand that shit? They tell you to raise your right hand, place your left hand on the Bible. Does this stuff really matter? Which hand? Does God really give a fuck about details like this? Suppose you put your right hand in the Bible, you raise your left hand. Would that count? Or would God say, wrong hand, try again? And what? Why does one hand have to be raised? What is the magic in this gesture? This seems like some sort of a primitive voodoo mojo shtick. Why not put your left hand in the Bible, let your right hand hang down by your side? It's more natural. Or put it in your pocket. Remember what your mother used to say? Don't put your hands in your pockets. Does she know something we don't know? Is this hand shit really important? Well, let's get back to the Bible, America's favorite national theatrical prop. The hand you to swear on is upside down. Or back? Both. And you swear to tell the truth on an upside down backward Bible. Old Bible and half the pages are missing. Suppose all they have is a Chinese Bible in an American court. Or a Braille Bible and you're not blind.
Oh my God.
Well, half the page is missing. At what point does all of this stuff just break down and become just a lot of stupid shit that somebody made up? They fucking made it up, folks. It's make-believe. Now, all right. Okay. Let's leave the Bible aside. We'll get back to the science fiction reading later. The more important question is, what is the big deal about swearing to God in the first place? Why does swearing to God mean you're going to tell the truth? Wouldn't affect me. They say, hey, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God. I say, yeah. I'll tell you about as much truth as the people who wrote that fucking Bible. How do you like that? Swearing on the Bible doesn't mean anything. It's kid. Swearing to God is kid stuff. Did you know, remember when you were a kid, if you told another kid something he didn't quite believe, he'd say, you swear to God? I would always say, yeah, I swear to God, even if I was lying. Why not? What happened if I lie? Nothing. Nothing happens if you lie, unless you get caught, and that's a whole different story.
God.
You swear on your mother's grave? I say, yeah. Why not? First of all, my mother was alive. She didn't even have a grave. Second of all, to the grave and come and haunt me? I'm not. Lie to an 8-year-old? Get fucking real, will you?
Right. You have no right. We have a right. They don't have a right. Folks, I hate to spoil your fun,
Answers and no argument from God. Anything we can't describe must have come from God. Personally, folks, I believe that if your rights came from God, given you the right to some food every day, and he would have given you the right to a roof over your head, God would have been looking out for you. God would have been looking out for you. You know that? He would have been worried about making sure you have a gun so you can get drunk on Sunday night and kill your girlfriend's parents. But let's say it's true. Let's say God gave us these rights. Why would he give us a certain number of rights? The Bill of Rights of this country has 10 stipulations, okay? 10 rights. And apparently God was doing sloppy work that week because we've had to amend the Bill of Rights an additional 17 times. So God forgot a couple of things like slavery. Okay? It's 13.
Holy shit. Oh, man, I'm crying. Oh, my God.
Some people in the world have no rights at all. What kind of a fucking goddamn God-given deal is that? No rights at all? Why would God give different people in different countries different numbers of different rights? Boredom? Amusement? Bad arithmetic? We find out at long last, after all this time, that God is weak in math skills. Doesn't sound like divine planning to me. Sounds more like human.
Oh, Lord.
Business as usual in America. Now, you have rights. One last assignment for you. Next time you're at the computer, get on the internet, go to Wikipedia. When you get to Wikipedia, in the search field for Wikipedia, I want you to type in Japanese Americans 1942, and you'll find out all about your precious fucking rights, okay? All right. You know about it. You know about it. Yeah. In 1942, there were 110,000 Japanese American citizens in good standing, law-abiding people who were thrown into internment camps simply because their parents were born in the wrong country. That's all they did wrong. They had no right to a lawyer, no right to a fair trial, no right to a jury of their peers, no right to due process of any kind. The only right they had, right this way, into the internment camps. Just when these American citizens needed their rights the most, their government took them away. And rights aren't rights if someone can take them away. They're privileges. That's all we've ever had in this country is a bill of temporary privileges. And if you read the news even badly, you know that every year the list gets shorter and shorter and shorter. You see how it's doing? Yeah. Sooner or later, the people in this country are going to realize the government does not give a fuck about them. Government doesn't care about you or your children or your rights or your welfare or your safety. It simply doesn't give a fuck about you. It's interested in its own power. That's the only thing. Keeping it and expanding it wherever possible. Personally, when it comes to rights, I think one of two things is true. I think either we have unlimited rights or we have no rights at all. Personally, I lean toward unlimited rights. I feel, for instance, I have the right to do anything I please. But if I do something you don't like, I think you have the right to kill me. So where are you going to find a fairer fucking deal than that? So the next time some asshole says, do I have a right to my opinion? You say, oh, yeah? Well, I have a right to my opinion. And my opinion is you have no right to your opinion. Then shoot away.
Oh, Lord.
Everybody, I'm going to be going home for dinner, but
me
I want
too.
To say, very important, that I do think the fact that we get wonderful countries like Canada, America, and England that allow people like us all to communicate. There are many countries where people, like that one guy from China,
right?
They got rid of him. We don't know what happened to him. But thank God there are countries like Canada, America still out there. So for that, I say thank God, in my opinion. Good night, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Good night, Mel.
Good night.
Good night. See you guys. See you guys Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Most definitely.
Yeah, most definitely.
Hey, Bill.
Okay, well, yeah. See you soon.
Bill.
Thanks for being.
Bill.
Yeah.
White power!
All right, man.
God.
All right. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, good night, everybody.